Well, we're looking at, we've had some expansion of taser use, as an example. Prison guards are using them now. Conservation officers are using them. And we're hearing a lot of good feedback, a lot of success with them. In the fact that if you're need, if something like that's needed for defense or to quell a problem down, you don't have to use lethal force to stop it. You can, the taser can do just the same thing and neutralize it. So we're looking at an expansion of the use of the taser, and with training and with you know, pretty much like a concealed weapon permit. It's not, we're not offering it to you know, the average citizen, just go pick them off shelf and use them, but we think they can be used in that same fashion. And in this case, we're looking at targeting education.
So with that plan, you're allowing, would allow them to be in some of the what are they called, not carry areas or whatnot, that would be things like schools, that if you have the proper training, you would have these for controlling situations.
Yep, gun-free zones would be what we're targeting. And we've just had a lot of success with it. I've talked to a lot of the guards in the prisons. They, in fact, because of money, they haven't been able to get as many as they'd like, so that there's more of them in the prisons. But certainly has gone a long way in helping the guards in the prisons settle things down. The same thing with the conservation officers. You know, just the fact that they have them gives them a little more comfort when they head out into the woods. And, you know, when you think about what they're dealing with, usually when they're in the woods, they're dealing with people that have guns. So this gives them a different opportunity rather than gun to gun.
Obviously, law enforcement officials are pretty familiar with tasers. What are some of the things you're hearing from them with this legislation?
We haven't had a lot of feedback from them at this point. I think they're letting the schools, you know, kind of take the lead on it as where they're at. Haven't had any serious negative that way. In fact, right now we're dealing with some things in the local area, in the Upper Peninsula, and I know that there's some incidents downstate, but we got a case of an individual that's pushing the envelope, I think, with the open carry issue and going into football games, things like that at schools, causing a real problem for them. So we're going to be having to do something about that. I'm looking at some legislation probably in the next few weeks you'll hear about that might balance that part of it out too. So there's a lot of things rolling right now with gun legislation, taser legislation, or surrounding schools.
We're speaking with State Senator Tom Kasperson this morning, and shifting gears a little bit and speaking of rolling, I know that you've been involved with some legislation of late with some ORV restriction changes and regulation changes, and there was a whole series of bills that have moved through lately that have to do with off-road vehicle use, but tell us a little bit about some of the bits you've been involved with.
Well, we've got the ORV clubs have been working with us. We've been working with the Department of Natural Resources, putting together an entire system that, you know, a trail system that we can promote. And DNR has helped us put together, on paper at least, the system. So now we know where those choke points are, where we can't get through some of those areas. We're looking to MDOT to help us get through. And the goal would be not to do it permanently with MDOT, but temporarily until we can find a place through the woods, because that's basically where guys want to ride. But the legislation kind of puts in parameters around where MDOT is going to have to come to the table and help us. Felt like there was a little bit of a delay there, not working with us in a sense in the past, and so now we've taken it to legislation to get this thing in place. And an example would be over in Ontonagon, got to get over the bridge to get into the community there, and MDOT hasn't allowed them to get over that bridge. We think that's being a little excessive in saying no, especially when the snowmobiles do it in the wintertime, and that's okay. So there's got to be some consistency, and that's what the bill's driving at.
How can that be? Is that a separate set of laws that snowmobiling would fall under, that even though they are some sort of off-road recreational vehicle, that if a snowmobile is allowed to do that but an ORV isn't? I mean, what's the basis there?
Well, you're getting to the heart of maybe a little bit of our frustration, because we haven't been able to come up with anything that was really good other than a philosophy or a viewpoint within the department. And they talk about liability, and I get that, and I understand that, and they have to be concerned, and they talked about safety, and I understand that too. But we need them to work with us on ways around that. And to just simply say those two things as the reasons for not working with us, well, when you look at the fact that snowmobiles go over those bridges in the wintertime, and not only snowmobilers, in the summertime, bicyclists can go over that bridge, the pedal bikes can go over the bridge, and they also can ride down the shoulder of the highway on a regular basis, and I'm not against that. But if you're really concerned, if safety is the issue, then that should have been something brought up. Until I was told by the director himself that the reason the bikes can do that is because they have it in statute that they have the right to do it. So he pretty much told me what I need to do with ORVs.
So a bike can do it and a snowmobile can do it, but an ORV can't do it, at least until it passes through. So that's interesting. Well, I'm sure it's a frustrating process. We wish you good luck on that. I was just curious, how are the local municipalities with these ideas?
They've been good to work with. In fact, a lot of the ideas and a lot of the choke points came from them. Because they see the benefit of the business coming into their communities with the restaurants, the hotels, and the gas stations. And so everybody seems to be on the same page that we need to have a controlled system. You just don't want them running everywhere, and that's kind of what Senate Bill 50 targets. It doesn't let you ride everywhere. There are controlled areas that you have to be with your ORV, but everybody seems to be on the same page. Put the system together and let's market this thing. The side-by-sides right now are the fastest-growing sport in the state of Michigan. Polaris has been very active with us behind the scenes trying to help. And, you know, of course, they want to get a system up because they sell the product, but their product is pretty popular. These side-by-sides are very popular. And I think we put a system together that we can market, and we'll be talking Pure Michigan.
Well, I appreciate your time this morning, Tom, and we'll be in touch with you, I'm sure, with updates. And, of course, if you're in town sometime, swing in. We'll have some coffee on, get another update from you. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks. Sounds good. Well, thank you.
All right. That's State Senator Tom Casperson joining us this morning with a legislative update from him. If you missed any of the interview, we'll have it posted a little bit.